Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Drop it.
PWMania.com. I am Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Good evening, everyone.
And we have an interesting 3 hours to get into tonight.
We do. We really do.
And Monday Night Raw started with Daniel Bryan and his yes towel coming to the ring. He was introduced for his opponent, Wade Clean-Shaven Barrett.
Well, he's trying. He has a little bit of peach fuzz. He's trying to grow it back, but it's going to take him another year to get it.
Mm-hmm. It was his rehab beard or movie beard or whatever you want to call it, and yeah, it's going to take him a while to get it back. But it's Daniel Bryan, Wade Barrett. But no. We get a special guest referee in the Raw General Manager, Brad Maddox.
Can we get like one episode that he's not on, please?
No. He's the GM. He's going to be on every show.
Oh.
Sorry.
Fail.
Sorry, it happened. So, they have a match. It was a solid match. The crowd at points was really quiet, but they got into Daniel Bryan everything he did.
Yeah, Bryan was over. Mm-hmm. It's just I think they were a little confused about Barrett more than anything else, and you know, it just goes to show the difference between the two and what levels they're on. And Bryan has clearly surpassed Wade Barrett at this stage.
Right.
Because honestly, it's just something where the crowd was like, eh? But we get Daniel Bryan, so yay!
So, they have a solid match, and then there's a quick roll-up, and Brad Maddox with the quick count. Brad Maddox beats Daniel Bryan 6 days before SummerSlam.
Ooh. Hmm. Shenanigans!
Daniel Bryan got pissed off. He was about to hit Brad Maddox, but Brad Maddox was able to duck out of the way because JBL screaming, you don't want to hit him, you're going to lose your title match. Don't hit the referee, don't hit the general manager.
Yeah.
So, Brad Maddox got out of Dodge.
He bailed in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. So, Barrett wins, and we move on to our next contest. Yes, we started out with wrestling, folks, to start off the show. Randy Orton, Damian Sandow, Money in the Bank versus Money in the Bank, and this was a pretty good match.
I think the best part of this match was Cody Rhodes on commentary.
Cody was good. Cody was really good on commentary. And he pointed out something you pointed out that, well, and a lot of people pointed out, that the briefcase is chocolate.
I know! They listened to the IWC. Because that was the joke going around all the internets was, you know, the briefcase is made out of chocolate. It's a meme. So somebody in the writing room was paying attention.
Mm-hmm. So, I should say, Sandow handcuffed his briefcase to the post, so Cody couldn't take it, but Cody tried to take it, caused a distraction. Sandow walks into an RKO for the victory.
It was a nice distraction. It was a good match. It was very entertaining.
We then go backstage. Rob Van Dam is doing his trademark stretches to prepare for what is announced as a number one contender's battle royal for the United States Championship. And then suddenly, it's the Shield. Ambrose, go ahead.
Oh my god, this promo.
I wish I had audio because I really can't do it justice, but I'll give you the summary of it. Basically, Ambrose spoke a little bit, then Seth Rollins took over, said the old guard has to go. Ambrose said that they are the leaders of the new generation. Rollins said they are younger, hungrier, and just better. Roman Reigns spoke next, to basically saying that no one can compete at their level. Reigns said he will ask nicely if two men want to step up and challenge them for the tag team titles. And if you do, make your move. Ambrose spoke about the Battle Royal. He said no one in that Battle Royal can beat him because he is the unbeatable champion in the company. Ambrose said CM Punk is a catchphrase. John Cena has a trophy. Ambrose said as long as Andre the Giant's ghost isn't in this Battle Royal, then he is winning at SummerSlam. Believe in the Shield.
You have to, if they ever put it out on YouTube, or if somebody rips it and puts it out on YouTube, this is an absolutely fantastic promo by the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done. Ambrose taking shots was fantastic.
He took shots, you know, saying that his title is the real WWE Championship because everyone's afraid to touch it. It was a fantastic promo.
I more like that, you know, CM Punk is just a catchphrase. That's something he was using in NXT, you know, and John Cena just has a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
So taking shots at the upper tier, are we potentially going to see at least Ambrose begin to climb the ranks, as it were?
Quite possibly.
So, very, very well done. Bravo to my boys. I wanted more, and sadly I did not get more. Lindsay had a sad.
You got a little bit more. A little
too. He didn't talk more. It's been so long since they cut a promo. It's like, oh my god, finally.
Up next, Kali and Natalya versus Big E and AJ Lee.
Okay, I want to rant on this a little bit.
Go ahead.
They should have just made this AJ and Natty with Big E and Kali at ringside. Because Big E and Kali, you know, aside from Kali getting slapped by AJ, didn't touch the ring until after the match was over.
Right. There was a little bit of confusion in this one. Natty went for the sharpshooter, had it in, sort of, I guess, fell over a little bit or lost her grip, and then then AJ tapped, and the referee was like, did not, you know, acknowledge it. So they had to redo the finish, basically, on live television, because Natty at one point walked to the referee and, you know, wanted her hand raised, and then, well, he said, no, you have to do it again. So they did, they reapplied the sharpshooter, and Natty wins.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that was a flub on her end, if that was a flub on the ref's end, or if it was just a flub in general. It actually looks like it's like AJ started to tap and she let go and the agent or the referee wasn't looking. Looks like Natty and AJ did it right. It's just the referee didn't seem to be paying attention because he wasn't even in shot. He was actually had his back turned when they went for it.
I also think Natty let go a second too early.
She might have as well, and that's entirely possible. So the whole situation was just kind of sort of yeah.
Though on the replay on WWE on the YouTube page. Very seamless. Nice set of job.
And I'm sure on Hulu tomorrow it will be equally nicely edited.
Hey, look at that. The Phillies beat the Braves.
Alright. They finally got their win back.
Mm-hmm. So way to go, Phillies.
Maybe rain is their secret weapon.
Or they don't put it in the bullpen.
No papablone for the Braves.
No papablone, no. None whatsoever. Let's see, where did we leave off as the, I got distracted by the game. Yes, the Natty Flop. Then we have Vince McMahon and his suit come to the ring.
That was an interesting suit, mm-hmm. but anyway.
It was. He called out Brad Maddox to talk about what happened, asked why he fast-counted Brian. Maddox said Brian's matches tend to get out of hand until he asserted himself. McMahon said, sure, that sure was a fast count. Maddox said he will admit to being a little excited. He was a bit rusty, but his intentions were to do his best. McMahon looked over him and said he supposed that there's no reason to apologize if he did the best he could. Then he asked for a second chance. McMahon asked, what? Maddox said he would like to be the official for the WWE title match at SummerSlam. McMahon asked the crowd, yes, no. And Vince was about to announce that Brad Maddox would be the guest referee at SummerSlam until...
Surely you would have to admit that was a pretty fast count.
Well, I can admit to being a little excited. It was the first time that I've had the referee shirt on in a little while.
Apparently there's a lot more to this than just Triple H interrupting. So let's continue.
I assure you, if there's any rust in my game, Mr. McMahon, it was not intentional. I did the very best that I could.
Well, there's really no reason to apologize if you did the best you could. Everybody makes mistakes.
Thank you. Mr. McMahon, I would like a second chance.
You would like a second chance at what?
I would like to be the official for the match at SummerSlam between John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
Let's ask everyone here in Sacramento, would you like to see Brad Maddox as the guest referee in that match?
I think that'd be a no.
All right, just for the purposes of entertainment, let's just ask a few questions. Just assume, for argument's sake, you were the guest referee in that match. Would you be impartial?
Yes, of course.
Would you call it right down the line?
Absolutely.
No matter any personal difference you would have with John Cena or Daniel Bryan?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Would you stop calling Daniel Bryan names like troll and dwarf and stop talking about his emaciated toothpick physique?
Yes, sir. No name calling.
So if you were the referee, that's exactly what you would do?
Yes, sir.
You'd be impartial. Say it again. You'd be impartial?
Yes, I will.
Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, at SummerSlam, Brad Maddox will step forward.
Interesting.
Given the importance of this match this Sunday, and given the fact that to me it certainly does seem like there's a whole lot more on the line Sunday than the WWE Championship, I have to agree with you. I do think that you need somebody to take control of this match. I do think that you need somebody impartial. I do think that you need somebody that will call it right down the line, and I do think 100% that you need somebody with the guts to do what is right and not be intimidated by anyone or anything. I just don't think that you're referring to Brad Maddox. It seems an awful lot like you're referring to me.
Oh! Oh! Come on! Pedigree to Maddox! Mr. Man's living! Pedigree to the Raw General Manager! But the stage seems to be set for Sunday! It's pretty apparent Triple H has placed himself in the special guest referee role versus John Cena and Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship at SummerSlam.
Oh, and what a slap in the face to Mr. McMahon that was.
So you have basically Triple H, Pedigree Maddox, and Maddox sold it like a champ, kicking his legs up in the air as he took the pedigree. It was fantastic. And, you know, the segment itself was pretty good. A little long with between Maddox and Vince, but that is what you expect from Brad Maddox. And a lot of people are like, is it a good idea that Triple H is the referee? Is it a bad idea that Triple H is the referee? What do you think? Tell me, people, what do you think? Is it a good idea? Bad idea? Kind of want to know. The reaction on Twitter was like, why are they adding this person to this match? Why are they adding Triple H to the match? It should be all about Cena and Daniel Bryan, not this McMahon drama. But that's what we get. We get Triple H into it at SummerSlam. He will be the referee. LeMahon says, well, you know, he had to be involved with SummerSlam some way. And yeah, and they were teasing, that on, at least on TV Guide, that the preview was going to be shocking SummerSlam news, and this was your shocking SummerSlam news. There is a special referee added to the match. So we have that, and then we move on. It is going up to next. It is Kane versus Titus O'Neil. Basically, this matchup was a squash. Titus O'Neil got a little bit of offense in, but it was all Kane all the time. And Kane wins with a chokeslam, and you know what that means. It's the Wyatts. They make their slow entrance to the ring, and well, when the lights come on, Kane is nowhere to be found in the ring. He's, well, on the ramp.
Kane sort of took off.
Yeah. Well, he had some time. He could have walked.
He probably did.
It's like, he could have walked right by them, and no one knew.
Pretty much, yeah. The way that they shoot that entrance, yeah, you know, it's pitch black, so unless somebody catches Kane in a flashbulb, which they would have been really careful to avoid, yeah, it's nobody would have known that they pretty much passed right by each other.
That was well done.
That was really well done. I've actually been waiting for somebody to do that. Right. Where it's like, because that entrance takes long enough that you could legitimately bail from the ring without them ever knowing.
Right.
So it's like, I was waiting for somebody to take advantage of that.
So, let's go back a minute as we'll talk more about Kane and the Wyatts in a second. Let me go back to the Hunter being added to SummerSlam. Thoughts?
It's kind of interesting. I was waiting for them to do something to this match to sort of up the drama, not that it really needs it. Like, I was waiting either for a step or for something. And honestly, Hunter being in the match, I think, will help twofold. It will help the Cena-Bryan match give it a little bit more polish, a little bit more shine. And then it also helps to build that feud between McMahon and Hunter. Because it's becoming very clear that, you know, Bryan is Hunter's guy. And Hunter is going to use his political clout to protect Bryan from Vince.
Right.
and screw Vince over. So now the question becomes is, well, who is Vince's guy?
There's a lot to get into with that, and we will get into it more Thursday on the Rack, where we go in-depth and, you know, give our predictions for what will actually happen during that match.
Yes.
So, Kane, did you like the Wyatts, the segment tonight, or did you want more?
I wanted more. I'm not going to lie. I was left a little wanting. I'm hoping that they do more on SmackDown, but honestly, they, you know, in all retrospect, they don't really need to do more for this match. I'm already sold. I'm pretty sure a lot of other people are sold as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
they made the stipulation clear. It is a ring of fire to keep people out, not to burn someone.
Well, they have to do that for the PG era. But what I'm curious about and how this stipulation works is, are there disqualifications? Are there countouts? Are there tapouts? You know, how do you... Can you win the match via DQ? Can you win the match?
I think it's one fall to a finish. There are no disqualifications. There are no countouts because of the flames. I think it's no DQ, no countout. It's because you can't count out because you're being trapped into the ring by the flames.
You know what? They figure a way to get out of that ring every time they do this.
I know. Just pointing it out. That's probably what's going on.
None of us will ever forget the Undertaker jumping the ropes in the Inferno match. Nobody will forget that. Ever. Because it's like, oh my god, dude, you're suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so we move on a little bit. We go backstage. Bella Twins are being interviewed by Josh Matthews. He asks the Bellas about vying for control of the Divas locker room with tensions heating up. Suddenly, Natalya barged into it for another confrontation to set up Natty wanting to face Brie Bella basically at SummerSlam. The only thing you could tell was Natty got slapped. Brie and Nikki had big bows. Eva Marie was there. Funkadactyls were there. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Big bow, slaps, and boobs.
Am I the only one that's just a little over the Bellas at this stage? Hey, don't get me wrong. I love Total Divas. Love the show. Cannot wait to watch it on Sundays. But it's like, I'm just kind of over them, I guess, at this stage, at least on WWE TV. Because it's like they're so overexposed right now. Because of the show, it's like, why don't you try interviewing the Funkadactyls? Or, you know, where's JoJo? Or do more with Natty? Or something. It's like, it seems like everything to do with this show is about the Bellas. And, oh, hey, let's throw Eva Marie in there, because that's the only way we're ever going to get her over.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's just, yeah, it's... I mean, it's... Yeah.
Hey, it's a match, Brie Bella... And Natty at SummerSlam.
Funkadactyls, I think, are in her corner or something.
Funkadactyls are in her corner. Nikki and Eva Marie will be in Bree's corner. It's fine. The match will be fine. I trust Natty to have a good match.
When is Nikki's stress fracture healed?
I don't know. I think they were trying to get her cleared for SummerSlam, and I don't think she got cleared.
Hmm.
Because I know that was. I know that was the plan.
Yeah, it's like, she's got to be better soon.
I think it's, you know, I think she's almost cleared. But I think it, you know, pushed up to the limit. Because there was the idea of doing some sort of tag match at the show.
Right, and that's kind of what they went for. Because, like, you could honestly do it, and you just keep Nikki on the apron. And you don't have her do a lot.
But they're making it easier, and it's just a singles match, and that would probably be the best, because Bree's actually the better of the two wrestlers. So.
She is. Oh, definitely she is.
Up next, Alberto Del Rio, Kofi Kingston. It was fine.
It was a match.
Del Rio won by submission. Then we had a really nice video package on Christian.
Which was a little shocking, because it's like, oh, hey, look, it's a video package on Christian.
On Christian. It was like, wait, what am I seeing? Is that what I think I'm seeing?
Which means we got a lot of Edge, too.
Mm-hmm. We got a lot of Edge. And as this recap points out, we got Christian beating Bully Ray, Jeff Hardy, and Rob Van Dam. In that one. Christian talked about, you know, his mindset heading into SummerSlam. Christian said watching that video made him reflect on his hard journey to this point. He vowed to beat Del Rio and become World Heavyweight Champion for the third time. He said he will prove that all he ever needed was one more match. Del Rio came in, laughed in Christian's face, talked about wanting the waffle taco from Taco Bell, because no one could understand what he was saying in Spanish. And that's
yeah, it was like, huh?
Huh? What did he say? So I think he was talking about the waffle taco.
Sounds good to me.
We then have the real Americans, Swagger and Cesaro, versus the Usos in the rubber match, the best of three series.
Antonio Cesaro is now using the flag as a cape.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yep. Pretty much that is what has happened. We then move to probably, well, one of the two segments, really, of the night. And it includes The Miz. It is time for, well, Miz TV.
You see this shirt? This shirt is a parody of you. Because I think you are a parody of wrestling. And guess what? I don't want to be a parody. I want to be the WWE Champion, and I want to be WWE Champion for one reason and one reason only. And it's not for the fame, it's not for the glory, it's so that everybody knows and it proves that when I step foot in this ring, there is nobody better than Daniel Bryan!
You almost got me. You almost got me. A parody. A parody, that's strong. That's real strong. Daniel, I'm not a parody. The reason I'm out here, regardless of what you think, is the same reason you're out here. All of this. And I thought you would be smart enough to understand that. All of these people with their signs and their hands up in the air, chanting yes, 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 or no, no, no. They're doing it, Daniel, because they believe in you. They believe in you, and you hear that. And when you hear that and you know that someone believes in you, it empowers you, it gives you emotion, and all you want to do is come out in this ring every single night, sick, tired, or hurt, and put your body on the line as a way to say, I believe in you as much as you believe in me. You are red hot right now, but you will always have critics. You should be proud of every single thing you've accomplished here. But you should be smart enough to know that I am proud of what I've done here. I am proud of who I am, and I am proud of what I've become. Because what I've become is a man who has spent the last 12 years wrestling around the world. From Abu Dhabi to Taipei, from Tokyo to Shanghai, from New York right here to Sacramento. So Sometimes they cheer, sometimes they boo, but I have stood in for a dozen years in front of the most hostile environments, in front of the biggest names this business has to offer. And the difference between you and me is not parity, Jack. Every one of those matches, I did it while I was holding this. So please, please think I'm a joke. Please think I'm a parody. Please think I'm going to waltz into Los Angeles on Sunday. Just a shell of a man who's a t-shirt, a set of wristbands, an off-the-rack set of cargos, and a beat-up set of Pumas. Please, please think that about me. Because that's what every one of your peers has thought about me, and I've beaten them all. All of them. I've wrestled and beaten them all. And that's a pretty stout list, Daniel Bryan. A list that includes Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Batista, Randy Orton, CM Punk, The Rock.
Wait a second. You talk about all those people like they are so much better than me.
Danny, you gotta understand. You're hopefully on your way to greatness, but I can't put you in that class because you don't belong in that class. You want to talk about how demeaning catchphrases are? What's yours? Respect the beard? Well, Daniel, respect here, it isn't given out, it is earned. You listen to me and you listen good. If you are good enough to hold this Sunday, then, and only then, you earn my respect.
And there it is. Clear and simple, plain as day. You just spelled it out. You don't respect me. Not only that, you are not treating this like you treated your matches with Shawn Michaels, like you treated your matches with The Rock, because you respected those men. And why should you treat me like that, huh? You have held the WWE Championship 11 times. How could you? How could you understand the hunger, understand the desire that I have for holding that WWE Championship just once? That's all I want, is once. How could you understand that? And you can't. Because for you, this is just another SummerSlam. But for me, this is the biggest match of my life. You know, there's a custom I learned in Japan that they did before big matches. And it's to fire somebody up. It's to light that spark from one wrestler to another so that they would bring everything that they had to that fight. They take their hand, and as hard as they possibly can, they slap him in the face. You know, I wish so bad that I could do that to you right now. But I can't. Because you're not a wrestler, and you don't deserve it.
I think the talk is over.
I won't do it.
Oh! Yes, it is.
It's all about the game.
a special guest referee for this Cena Daniel Bryan matchup. And it's getting out of control. I think Daniel Bryan has hit his point. I don't think he respects John Cena. Twist. Mr. Money in the Bank, Randy.
And then Randy Orton held up the briefcase and stood on the stage, and that's where that ended. Fantastic segment between Bryan and Cena.
Oh god, if this match wasn't already sold, this did it. This had to do it. The promo work between those two was just absolutely amazing. My only qualm with this segment, or actually my only two qualms with this segment. It's like, okay, Triple H coming out, alright, that's fine, he's the referee, it makes sense. Randy Orton was too much. It's almost like they should have ended just with Cena and Bryan.
They were over there playing their hand with Randy Orton.
Yeah, it's like, you know, okay, Triple H kind of coming out there and breaking them up and standing between them to keep them apart. It's like, okay, that's fine. Don't mind that so much. Randy Orton coming out with the Money in the Bank was just too much. It was way too much. It's like, that just killed it.
Mm-hmm. I think what killed it was Hunter needed no music. He should have just came out and, you know, broke it up.
Yeah, he should have come out and broke it up, and also it's... I want this to... It's like, it's going to be enough that this is going to be about the McMahons and John Cena and Triple H. It's too much to have Randy Orton involved as well. It's something that...
I think they're overplaying their hand. They're trying to get us to believe it's going to happen, and I don't think it happened Sunday.
No, I don't think it's going to happen Sunday. I think it's something of they're trying to remind us that, oh yeah, Randy Orton is the Money in the Bank winner. And the problem is had you not had Orton already wrestle on Raw, that would be completely different. Right. But it's like Randy Orton coming out and holding up the briefcase or reminding us, oh yeah, I could cash in on either one of you at any time. Yeah, dude, we know. We know you have the Money in the Bank. We know you could do it. But I'd rather him just like literally do it out of nowhere where it's, oh hey, that's right, Randy Orton's the Money in the Bank winner. It's like, we don't need the constant reminder that he has the briefcase. We know he does.
And I was fine with him coming on the stage again. It was the music. If he didn't have music, if he would just stood there on the stage, it would have been fine.
Yeah, it was just like when Orton's music hits, you're like, oh.
See, what the music did was it drew focus away.
Yeah.
If he was there on the stage and the camera pans to him, that's one thing. But the music draws the crowd its attention away from what was selling. That was the only issue. Music playing was the issue. Everything else, the way Hunter came out, was fine. No music would have been better. Same with the word, no music. It would have worked.
But the promo between those two, oh my god, that was epic.
They sold some pay-per-views with that promo.
And that's really what you needed to do, where it's like, you know, they're both kind of playing the face in this, they're both kind of playing the heel. So it's, you've got them exchanging barbs, exchanging insults, the relationship is becoming more strained, it's where it's, well, you know, it's about pseudo-respect, where Cena's like, you know, trying to be the good guy and trying to say he respects Bryan when he doesn't, and Bryan calling him out on it. And LOL at the one guy who was like, you know, oh, so you don't think I'm as good as them, and the guy goes, you're not.
That was good.
It's like, LOL, well played, well done, perfectly timed, but it's like, there's one name on that list Cena doesn't have.
Right.
The question is, will he get it? I don't know, but yeah, it's just, I noticed that it's like, wow, you have a lot of these really big, high-up names, except for one.
Except for one, and, well, he is on the lower end of that list.
Yep.
So up next, it is time for Fun Dongo and R-Truth to dance?
I don't know what the hell this was. Somebody please explain it to me. What was this for?
A Battle Royal teaser?
I guess. I don't know. It's like, really?
Snack break.
Yeah, it's pretty much snack break. This is like the one where after that promo between Brian and Cena, because it went long. It went really long. So it's like, I can understand how everybody would need to get up and go get a snack or go run to the bathroom or whatever really quick after this. Like, that's the only thing I can figure this was for.
Yeah, that segment was like 17 minutes. We played almost 10 of it on here, so.
Yeah. That was a long segment. And it's like, it's one of those that you just sit there and you watch it and you just soak it in. So yeah, but this segment, it's like, I actually kind of felt bad for Finn, Nagel, and R-Truth, because it's like, oh, you gotta follow that up. Oh, that sucks.
Then you had Curtis Axel, you know, was sitting with Paul Heyman, as Heyman taped up his fist. Axel asked the question about whether he's nervous about facing Punk tonight. Heyman said, wearing a suit, said he thinks that he's having second thoughts about this. So up next, it is the U.S. title Battle Royal for the number one contendership. You have Rob Van Dam, Ryback, Mark Henry, and 17 other people.
By the way, I'd like to point out, because Omega and I were talking about this, it's really bad when the three-man band gets a bigger pop than Ryback.
Mm-hmm. It's sad when the three-man band are eliminating people.
Yeah, the three-man band were more over than Ryback was. That's not what they want. And this, I think that was a really good gauge where it's like, just do something else with him, please.
And you know what else? Zack Ryder couldn't even make a Battle Royal.
I know, poor Zack Ryder. He couldn't even make it in the Battle Royal. But he was rooting for Kali.
Mm-hmm, he was rooting for Kali. Kali did not win. The final four came down to Rob Van Dam, Wade Barrett, Mark Henry, and Ryback. Luckily, Barrett got eliminated by Henry. Then, and Lindsay was hoping, praying, and, you know, going to sacrifice people, that if Ryback won, she was going to throw things. But she didn't have to do any of that. She didn't have to throw anybody, throw things, sacrifice people. Ryback got eliminated by Mark Henry. So it brought down to RVD and Henry. RVD goes to the top rope, gets knocked down. He's on the apron. Henry charges. He pulls down the rope. RVD pulls it down. Henry goes flying over. And then, well, RVD is now the number one contender for United States title, which means on the SummerSlam pre-show, the kickoff, it will be Rob Van Dam and Dean Ambrose.
Which is going to be a really good match. Match.
And they're going to get some time on the pre-show. Because it's an hour long, so it means they're going to get, you know, probably around 7:30, they will, you know, get some time in. They'll have a really good 10-minute match. And it's Van Dam and Dean Ambrose. What's not to love about that?
I'm all excited for it. It's like when it got announced, it's like, okay. That's your pre-show match? All right. I've already sold on the pay-per-view, but why not?
And I got a reason to watch the pre-show.
Yeah, it's like, now I got a reason to watch the pre-show. Hot damn.
So, we then have Mark Henry and Rob Van Dam in the ring. They show each other a little bit of respect, you know, after a hard-fought match. They bump fists, and Mark Henry is, ready to leave and all that fun, happy stuff. But then we hear
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
The Hounds of Justice have arrived.
And you hear Lindsay go squeak.
The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, ready to gang up on RVD and Mark Henry. And if you notice with Dean Ambrose, he was without vest. He was only in a black t-shirt. He might be changing his look a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. No idea.
So they're surrounding the ring, ready to go, and then we hear,
well, it's a big show.
That's right, folks. The Big Show is back, and when you look at Seth Rollins' face, he went, oh, shit, because they quickly got away from the IT part of that word.
Yeah, that was a brilliant, brilliant shot.
It was like, oh,
and they cut away.
They cut away.
Because they very quickly realize, oh, he's about to say a very bad word.
Mm-hmm. Tim went, did you read his lips? Like, no, I didn't read his lips. So I went back and went, oh, so that's what he was talking about. Gotcha. He went, oh.
So yeah, it's like he started to say it. I'm like, oh, my God, is he going to get it on TV? And then it's like, No,
he didn't get it on TV.
But I like how it's like Dean looks concerned. Seth is going, oh, shit. And then they cut to Roman, and Roman's like, meh. Like, Roman could care less. It's like, brilliant. Clearly, Roman Reigns is much braver than the other two, or it's very difficult to strike fear in his black heart. I don't know.
Right.
But that was just amazing.
So, yeah. So, it looks like we're going to get Big Show, who slowly walked to the ring, and Mark Henry versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam for the titles.
I'm okay with that. I'm really, really, really okay with that.
One would assume, anyway.
One would assume that we're probably going to get Henry and Show for the titles. They're waiting for somebody to step up, so basically it's an open challenge for anybody who wants to go for the titles. Honestly, I wouldn't mind getting the Shield versus the Usos again. But, you know, I'll take Show versus Henry against the Shield because that's an actual legitimate challenge for them. Can they defeat just the sheer mass that is that tag team?
Right. So we then, it is now time for the main event. Paul Heyman ready to fight, hands are taped, and he comes to the ring and just starts saying, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. He said Punk's worshippers are calling for their hero. Heyman said he doesn't blame Punk for everything that's happened, but each and every fan in the audience, Heyman said Punk used to live for his respect, love, acceptance, adulation and affirmation. Now Punk lives for their acceptance. What he takes very personally is that the fans took Punk away from him. So tonight he will take Punk away from the fans. Heyman continued that everyone has been talking about him setting a trap for CM Punk. Heyman sarcastically said, he's guilty as charged. Paul Heyman ever saying that phrase? Sounds like a pay-per-view to me. Anyway, he said, it's a trap. Heyman said he didn't think of the trap all by himself because this is a conspiracy. And he has a co-conspirator. And that's his best friend in the world, the Beast, Brock Lesnar.
To which we all sat here and went, wait, Brock can pronounce conspiracy?
He doesn't need to pronounce it to be one. So out comes Brock Lesnar with Pyro. Heyman said he doesn't even need to sell the fans on the Beast versus the Best versus the Beast. So before they spell out what their plan is for Punk, he has prepared something for Brock, and it's a video package showing off some highlights of, well, Brock beating up CM Punk. At this point, we get the video package. Heyman said SummerSlam will be the death of CM Punk, as proposed by Lesnar. Heyman said the trap is that he's willing to fight CM Punk right here tonight, as long as Punk is willing to fight him and Brock Lesnar in a handicap match. See? Little twist there. Heyman said that Punk gets to play the hero, saying that all heroes are stupid. He said they have no other option in life, but Punk has the option and choice not to play the hero, but disappoint each and every single person. All Punk has to do is turn around, tuck his tail between his legs, walk out the back door, and live to fight another day at SummerSlam this Sunday. Heyman said he hereby demands Punk's answer. Will he play the smart coward or the stupid hero? We then hear Punk's music, but there's no Punk. Punk then suddenly slides into the ring, stole a camera, and nails Brock Lesnar with it.
Maui.
Lesnar looked like legitimately shaken up by that shot, rolled out of the ring, then dove out onto Brock Lesnar on the outside. Punk grabbed a chair and bashed Lesnar with it a bunch of times. Punk then got his eyes locked on Paul Heyman. Heyman was concerned. It's like, oh my god, what have I gotten myself into? Holy crap, CM Punk has a chair and Brock is down. Punk starts to chase Heyman and we're all going, run, Heyman, run.
Yeah, it's like, run, you stupid fool, run.
Heyman screaming, Brock, Brock, the entire time. Brock was dead and out. So out comes Curtis Axel, gets in the way, but Punk lays him out with a GTS on the stage. Heyman was able to get away, but Punk stood tall on the stage, shouting out, he is the best in the world. So the Raw closed out with Lesnar down, Punk on his feet. Will it be that this Sunday at SummerSlam is the biggest question many people will have.
I'd just like to point out that this was absolutely fantastic. So well done. You have Heyman in the ring monologuing like the evil genius he is about this trap, about this plan, about what they're going to do to right. CM Punk. It's like, it's classic. It's just a complete classic. It's like, I almost want Paul Heyman to become a Bond villain. Because he'd be perfect for it. But this was really well done, because it's like, okay, well, how are you going to pull off CM Punk versus Paul Heyman? And it's like, they're never going to touch. That's how they're going to pull this off. Because it's like, Heyman walked down in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. So it's like, okay, this is getting interesting. And then it's like, you have Heyman cut the promo, and then of course he brings out Brock, which everybody was expecting.
And they did it in reverse order, not where Brock would come out after Punk gets in the ring. They brought out Brock first.
Right, they brought out Brock first so they could, you know, sort of celebrate the fact that they're going to one-up CM Punk, and then you have Punk get the upper hand on Brock by very sneakily, that's a word, I said it right, sliding into the ring, grabbing a camera, and hitting Brock multiple times with the camera, which all I can say is owie, owie, owie.
Right.
That's not gimmicked. I don't know how one would gimmick a video camera. If anybody knows, please tell me, because yeah, all I can say is owie. And somewhere in the back, Vince is going, god damn it, that's a $20,000 piece of equipment he just broke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, pretty much, yeah.
But this was an absolute fantastic way to sell this match. You know, everybody played their part absolutely beautifully. It was so well done. They did a really nice job of selling the big matches tonight for SummerSlam. So I'm looking forward to them seeing how they actually sell the undercard on SmackDown, if they do that. Because they've done everything they need to do for Brock and Punk and Cena and Bryan at this point.
And
those are done.
Those are the two matches those are the two matches selling the pay-per-view, and, well, they sold them tonight.
Right. They're going to need to do a little bit more on Christian and Del Rio, because that one's just kind of eh. But they need to kind of now concentrate on the rest of the card and sort of build up the rest of the card, because they've got some really good potential strong matches for the undercard, but they just need to build them up a little bit more.
Yeah, they didn't let the undercard really touch tonight.
No, because it's their main point was to sell the big matches, to get those to where they needed to be, because those peaked tonight.
Yeah.
Which means they're ready for Sunday.
That's why you gotta buy the pay-per-view Sunday.
That's right.
So at this point, this has been the Raw post-show. Because, we're done. That's 3 hours of Raw. We're done. Which means tomorrow night it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. He will be interviewing Jimmy Corderas. So check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com. Thursday night, Lindsay, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in for our full, in-depth SummerSlam review and pick 'em We'll tell you all about the Pick'em contest that we're going to be having for this pay-per-view, plus news and notes, TNA Impact, and if we can manage to fit a discussion in, we'll fit a discussion in or two. Also, stay tuned for the Raw Total Divas post-show, which we will record sometime in between now and Friday, and we will put it out for you. It's where we do a full recap of Total Divas. So check that out. We actually sit here and watch the show and give you a running commentary as we watch the show.
Yes,
so tune in for that.
It's the Rack post-show extra thing for the Total Divas.
We don't have a name for it yet. Sorry.
But you said Raw, so I'm correcting you. It's the Rack.
Sorry.
The Rack. Anyway, the Rack, so go visit RackRadioShow.com as well. Saturday night, around 10 p.m. Eastern, we play cards against humanity. We get weird. We get evil. And around midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself, Rob Park, Subway, and Ace, we get weird, we get wacky, we talk about the unusual. CB Radio, you never know what to really expect. Sunday night, right after the pay-per-view at 11 p.m. Eastern, right here at WildTalkRadio.com, PWMania.com, it will be Russell Talk Radio, the complete in-depth recap of everything, and I mean everything that happens at SummerSlam. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right after Monday Night Raw, for the post show, so you don't want to miss that. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWard, LINSWARD. Go to her website, psychworddesigns.com. Go to her Behance at behance.net/LindsWard. Same with DeviantArt, LindsWard.deviantArt.com. Thanks to Memlane Promo. Thanks to PWMania.com. Thanks to everyone who listened for the first time, the 100th time, or however long you've been listening. Thank you very much for tuning in. We will be back next Monday night for another edition of the Post Show, Raw Post Show, live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And Lindsay and I will see you this Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, right after Impact Wrestling, for another edition of The Rack, live, right here, WildTalkRadio.com, PWMania.com. And RackRadioShow.com. So for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rocket. We'll see you when we see you. Goodbye.